any religious scripture talks about the highest truth, whether it's the Bible, the Quran, the Guru Granth Sahib, the Bhagavad Gita, talks about who God is, what is my relationship to Him, and how I can know Him, how I can reach Him. But a religious scripture would be incomplete if it only talked about that, because a person will say, it's okay, you know, God, I know He's there somewhere, and, you know, maybe I'll meet Him after death. How do I know even there is a God? And if there's heaven and hell, maybe there is, you know, who cares? But I want to know about today's problems. You know, I'm having a problem with my wife, my husband, my job. The economy is bad. I lost my, you know, job. My children, my teenager son is giving me a hard time. So I need to help with those problems. You know, heaven and hell, it's okay. I'll see later on. So a religious scripture has to deal not only with the supernatural, but with what is seen, what I'm dealing with, it, the people I come in contact with, the problems I face. And the Bhagavad Gita is beautiful because throughout this beautiful song, you know, Gita means a song, or song of 18 chapters sung by the Lord Himself. Throughout this beautiful song, this point is never forgotten, that how can I know God? How can I reach Him? What is His nature? And then how can I apply this knowledge that I have studied in the Bhagavad Gita in the marketplace? As they say, when the tire hits the road, then how is this my problem going to be solved? Otherwise, why should I be wasting my time? You know, I could be watching the NBA basketball playoffs. Why am I here? Because this is something that will benefit me. So the Bhagavad Gita is very unique in that way, that it is a very practical textbook of living. It is like a manual, like when you buy a new camera, and nowadays cameras are complicated, or a new car, or anything, you need a manual which of course most of us don't read and just throw it away and then try to muddle our way through. But still, you know, if you do read it, you find some useful tips on how to use the car or use the camera. So the Bhagavad Gita is a manual that when you open and read it, it will show us how to live life, how to live life in this world. And in my opinion, and of course of most of the teachers, the 9th chapter is the highest knowledge, as we have talked about. And in the 9th chapter, the verse that we are going to do today, the verse number 22, is said to be the highest verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It appears almost in the middle of the Bhagavad Gita. And they say that the verse that we are going to study today, if you study that, it teaches you everything. Who is God? What is His nature? How do I reach Him? And how do I apply this knowledge in the world? So it's a complete verse by itself. The verse itself is the essence of really, if you study and memorize this verse, there is nothing else you need to study in the entire Gita or in any literature of the world. So that is the beauty and the glory of this particular verse we are going to do today. But before we do that, I'll just quickly summarize what we had studied last week. And there in the verse number 19, the Lord says, I am the one that gives the rain, that makes the sun shine, and I am everything that is mortal, immortal, manifest, unmanifest. I am everything, and I am beyond that. And then in verse number 20 and 21, he had talked about heaven, how people who do a lot of good deeds and rituals just to get heaven. And so they do enjoy heaven, and they have a good time there. But then after heaven, when the time is over, they come back and start their journey again. They don't really go anywhere, because heaven is just a place of enjoyment. So they have some pleasures on this world, and then they say, oh, I'm going to deprive myself, I'm going to do good. And they go to heaven and they have 100 times the pleasures, but then they have not accomplished anything. They come back because their ignorance is not gone. And so the next verse will tell us how to remove the ignorance, and that you do not need to go through this cycle of birth and death and heaven and hell, but how to go beyond all that. So 9th chapter, verse number 22.
Ananyas chintayanto maam ये जनाः पर्युपासते तेषां नित्याभियुक्तानां योगक्षेमं वहाम्यहम्.
So ananya. Anya means other. Anya means no other. So no other. Chintayanto ananyaha with no other. Chintayantaha. Chintayantaha means one who thinks about mam, me. So one who thinks about me, the Lord says, ananya, without thinking about anything else. Ananya. Ye jana. They, these people. Ye jana, these people. Pariupasate, they worship me. Pari, when upasate means worship. Pari, when the prefix is there, pravi, pari means totally. Totally, completely worship me. So pari makes it even more perfect. So totally they worship me. What happens to them? Tesham, for these people, who are they? Nitya abhiyukta nam. Nitya means constant. Abhiyukta means self-controlled. Totally self-controlled ones. For these self-controlled ones, what do I do for them? The Lord says, you know, you do so much for me. You think about me, you worship me, you control yourself. Then I have to do something in return, right? Because we are all in a business dealing. That I do something for you, Lord, you have to do something for me. We can't have just one-way street that I keep on doing things for you. So he says, don't worry, I'll take care of you. He says, yoga kshemam. Yoga kshemam. Yoga means what I do not have, when I get, that is called yoga. Yoga means to unite. So say I didn't have a car, I got a car. Or I didn't have a house, I got a house. So that is called yoga, means to unite, to get. And kshema means to preserve. So I give you what you do not have, and I preserve what you already have. Vahami aham. Vahami means I carry, I bring, I give to you. So there he says, those who think about me constantly, who worship me totally and are self-controlled, I give them what they do not have and I preserve what they already have. So this shloka can be studied from many aspects. So we'll start by spiritual aspects, since it is. So he says, so those who think about me constantly without thinking about anything else. So he says, what do you mean? He says, just I have to think about him constantly. So all day I have to go Ram, 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 Ram. I don't do anything else. You know, I have to at least eat my food. I have to, you know, go to sleep. I have to go to work. I have to drive. And constantly I have to keep on thinking about you. Don't I have anything else to do in life? So he says, no, it's not like that. It's not that. It's like you keep me in the background. Like Swamiji Chinmayananda in his commentary gives a very beautiful example. He says in the India, in villages where they do not have running water, the men go to the fields, you know, so they are working hard in the fields, and the women, it is their job to bring water because there is no running water, so they have to go to the well, and the well may be outside the village, or they have to go to the river which may be 2-3 miles away from their house. So they walk to the well or to the river. And they have multiple parts on their head. They may have 3-4 parts. And they actually balance them. They have one part and a second and a third. And they fill them up completely to the top with water. And they are pretty heavy. And so these 3-4 parts, they are balancing and walking back. And you can say, my God, it's so difficult, you know, just to balance even empty parts. But these are parts filled with water. And, you know, and they are not tense. You know, if you are me, even one part, you know, I would be scared. You know, you can't even hold it for 5 seconds. But they are walking with 3-4 parts. They are very relaxed. It's not that they are walking tense. And in the middle, they are throwing stones at their friends and laughing and giggling and pinching each other and doing all kinds of. So this girl is walking, giggling, laughing, pinching her friends, throwing rocks and, you know, playing around. And why don't the parts fall? Because while she is doing everything, part of her attention is on the parts, that I have to keep my head erect and I have to keep my head balanced. So as she's walking and doing anything and everything, talking, gossiping, but her attention is always there, that this part is here and I should be careful, I should keep my head straight and I should not move it so that the parts don't fall. So how is she able to do that? Because at one corner of her mind, she has put this part, you know, this part statement. And so as she is walking, she's doing that. Or in the world, if we find a mother, you know, now she's in, hosting a party and there are 20 guests and she's so stressed out, you know, bringing food for them, water and cleaning up and making sure everybody's taken care of. And suddenly there is a faint little sound in the other room that her baby has just, not even crying, has just woken up and, you know, just made a little, you know how these babies make this sound? Child has made that sound, not even cried. It's so soft, but she hears it instantly. And she says, my baby is awake, and she goes, picks him up. Why? Because even while she is working and taking care of her guests, a part of her mind is tuned to the baby. As soon as the baby wakes up, he immediately knows that. Or if you are walking in a crowded marketplace and you just drop a quarter and it makes a cling sound, everybody looks. Why? Because a part of their mind is on money. And anything related to money, instantly their mind perks up. So in our life, we find that people are able to do that. While they are working in the world, a part of their mind is focused on something else, which is important to them, you know, for the mother, the baby, or for money, or whatever. So the Lord says that, make me an important part of your life. And as you are doing your activities in the world, just make an effort to remember me. It may not be that easy in the beginning. And you can say, okay, every 15 minutes, I'll try to chant the name of the Lord, or every hour, you know. And so start by that, or before you leave your house, as soon as you come home, soon as you wake up, soon as you go to bed. So set aside certain times and certain reminders when you, before you start eating, before you start your day's work, you know, if you're going to see patients or do whatever your work you're doing. So make little cue markers, as they call them, cue points, so that at that moment I should remember the Lord. Or when you see the sunrise, or when you see a beautiful moon, there's going to be a full moon tonight, and see the Lord's glory. You know, you see some flowers, you walk out, you see the fresh air breathing, you know, or the little smile of a child. So anytime you see anything that is beautiful, anything that is glorious, in the 10th chapter he says, yad yad vibhuti mat satvam shri mardujitam eva va tattad eva va gachatam mama tejo amsha sambhavam. He says, wherever you see anything glorious, anything beautiful, anything wonderful, just think that's a small part of my glory. You know how glorious the Lord is. And when you see an artist singing, you know, beautiful piece of, like last night we had, you know, wonderful singers and they were singing so well. When you hear that voice, you remember that it is the Lord, you know, it is His glory. Or when you see a beautiful painting or a piece of sculpture, or a sportsman, you know, excelling in their sports, or somebody writing a new program. That's what they say. Anytime you see anything creative, you know, somebody is writing a new computer program, somebody comes up with a new idea to, you know, for a new factory. So he says, remember me. And so you can, through effort, you can remember the Lord at all times. So ultimately, it's like a background hum for these great saints. For them, they don't have, it comes effortlessly to them because they have dedicated their whole life to Him. So they say, make the Lord the focus of your life, and try as much as possible, have a little picture maybe on your desk or in your car, or when you're driving, play some beautiful bhajans or some nice psalms or some verses, so that again and again you try to remember Him. So Ananya, and he says, remember me with nothing else, means I should be the most important focus in your mind. And then he says, ye jana pariyupasate, those who worship me totally. Now worship, you know, we take worship as, okay, I go to the church and light a candle, or go to the temple and do some aarti, or put some flowers, and we say, ho gaya, that is it. But the true meaning of worship is, with love, get to know Him and worship Him through your activities. Every activity that I do should be a service of the Lord, should be a worship of the Lord. when I'm taking care of my patients, or when I'm cooking for my children, or when I'm teaching as a teacher, or whatever job I am doing. I'm an engineer, doctor, accountant, lawyer. Whatever work I am doing, I should do that work as a worship of the Lord and constantly remember Him. Then my work will become pure. And also, when I'm doing it as a service of the Lord, I have to remember that He is the one working through me. I am not the doer, but I am just an agent. I am just an instrument of His power, and I'm using His power to work in this world. So that is called true worship. That's what Swamiji... Actually, this book, the commentary of the ninth, this particular verse is so powerful. I don't think I can do even a tenth of the justice. So I would recommend everybody, please read this commentary. Read it at least three times. It is so nice, Swamiji's commentary in that. So he says you do two things. First of all, you remember me. Second is you worship me through your actions. And by constantly serving the world as me. Then he says, Tesham nitya abhiyuktanam, and live a life of self-control. Live a life of discipline, not undisciplined life, you know, do whatever I want. But set aside some time. Okay, I have to get up in the morning and meditate. I have to then, you know, do some puja. Then I have to, you know, maybe set aside some time in your day for spiritual studies. Set aside some time in your day for service, for helping the world. So live a life of discipline and regulate your life so that then, he says, then I give you whatever you want. In this world, there is, you know, two things. Swamiji says in his commentary that all our efforts, everything in this world, no matter what you're doing, whether you are working or whether you are, you know, on the computers or cooking or, you know, medicine or engineering or law or whatever you are doing it for two purposes. A, to get what I do not have. And once I get it, to preserve it. So the Lord says that I give you what you do not have and I preserve what you already have. We'll talk about that in a little while. So then we can apply this also to our worldly existence. Say in my world, now say I build a factory. So what do I do? Same thing, right? I constantly think about the factory when I'm planning it, when I'm building it, when I'm dealing with the architect and trying to raise the money and the construction and the contractor and all. So I'm constantly thinking about the factory. A person, he may be at his brother-in-law's house and the brother is talking about his fishing trip, you know. It's a Saturday afternoon. But his mind is still on the factory, you know, what's been happening. I hope, you know, my funds have not come from the bank. And he's not even listening to his brother-in-law. He's listening with half an attention. Half his mind is still on the factory. So he says, and the person constantly thinks about the factory. Then he works for it. You know, he's constantly putting effort out to the factory to become more successful, to get more contracts, to get more orders so that the production should be on time. And what are the goods that the customers need? And he's doing that. And he's living a life of self-control 7 days a week. If you ask him, it's a Sunday, where are you? There has been a problem at my factory. You know, one of the machines is not working. I've called the engineer and I want to be there and make sure he fixes it because tomorrow morning, Monday, the production is going to start. And if the machine is broken, so Saturday or Sunday or late night, early morning, afternoon, all the time he is. Idea is that it's not that the person doesn't enjoy, even when he's playing sports or whatever, a part of his mind is tuned to the factory. So he says, and a person who puts that kind of effort in his factory where he thinks about it all the time, he works for it, and he controls himself and thinks about it, obviously he will get yoga and kshema. He will get what he needs. So that's what the Lord says, that when you work for me constantly, then I become your administrator. I take care of you. And people will say, you know, I'm going to go and sit Ram, 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 or Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all day. And you think he's going to come and go to work for me and he's going to, you know, earn my paycheck? Or is he going to cook for my children? I have to cook. And who's going to earn the living? And, you know, if I don't go to work, who's going to pay? So the Lord says, wait a minute, wait a minute. this whole universe, who is running it? Are you doing anything? No, I'm running it without any help from you. Every planet is maintained in its place. The flowers are growing. The air is there. The temperature is maintained. The rainfall comes. And everything, who is maintaining it? Then I'm taking care of the lilies, you know, as they are growing. Who's coloring the lilies? Are you doing it? No, I am. Who's making the birds fly? In fact, Guru Nanak says it very beautifully in his teaching. He says, you know, the moss that grows on the bottom of the river, on the rocks, on the lake, there is a lake and there is moss growing. Who is taking care of the moss? You think you are? And if he has time to take care of that little moss, you think he won't take care of you? You are the crown and roof of his creation. The human is his greatest, you know, creation. And so if he can take care of the moss, if he can take care of the flowers, if he can take care of the birds, definitely he will take care of you. There is no doubt. If you do his work, then he says, I take charge of your yoga and kshema. I take charge of it. Now, what do we mean by the word yoga and kshema, and how does he do it? Take up some examples. So like yoga and kshema is like, say, I get what I do not have, and I preserve what I already have. Yoga means to get, kshema means to preserve. So say like I bought a house. So I had a lot of money in a problem. I wanted a house. So I somehow raised the money and I get a loan from the bank and, you know, go with the realtor. And finally, I bought a house. After 1 year of effort and search, I finally bought a house. I bought a house. It's a 20-year-old house, but at least I have my own house. Now nobody can throw me out. I'm not a tenant and, you know, nothing. I'm my own house owner. So he moves in, and what happens? Yoga, he got the house, but now kshema starts. There is no lawn in the backyard. You know, the old owner, the house had been in foreclosure for a year. So no maintenance. So the house has no lawn in the front, no lawn in the back. House is dirty. So he has to first clean, and the bank says you have to take the house as is. You know, we're not going to do anything. So the poor guy sits down and starts cleaning the house, the front of the house, the back of the house, and put new lawn in the front and put new lawn in the back, and then put new carpets, and the heater doesn't work, and the air conditioner doesn't work, and the washer doesn't work, and the dryer does. Why? Because the house was a mess. You know, the bank had it for a year. So then starts the kshema. Now he has to put in all the effort to clean the house, maintain the house. And then it doesn't end at that time. Every, you know, 2 years something breaks, or every 5 years the carpet needs to be changed, and then the furniture has to be changed because it's outdated. So constant activity, effort is required. It's not that, you know, one time you bought the house is yours. No, you have to work at it. And Swamiji in his commentary says, you know, when you get married, you know, person says, I want to get married. Okay, so they find, you know, a girl, and or a girl finds a boy. And on the wedding day, they make sure they keep you so busy, give you so much food and drink and all, so you don't have time to think. Otherwise, you might change your mind. So they keep you so busy that the girl has to get dressed and makeup and hair. And the boy, you know, he got married. Aha. And that's when the problem starts. Swamiji says to keep that fixed 1.5-inch smile on the girl's face requires a lot of effort. You know, he has to constantly work, because anything little happens, she gets upset. Or same way for the girl, you know, to keep the man happy. And, you know, I forgot my anniversary. Oh, my God. You know, and that is the end of it. You forget your forget it. Never hear the end of it. So one day this man got up and his wife said, darling, you know what day it is today? He thought, oh my God, I forgot my anniversary. So he didn't say anything, you know. He said, yeah, I know what day it is. And so he went to the office and told his secretary, order the biggest, you know, flower, you know, arrangement, huge one, $150. So from the Conroy's florist, she got the biggest arrangement. And then he took it home, you know, at night, you know, saying, you know, that way hopefully she is. So he took it home and says, darling, these are for you. So she says, thank you for bringing the flowers. But you know what day today is? Flag Day. Why did you bring flowers on Flag Day? He said, today is Flag Day. Why do you have to bring flowers? So so the point is that to get married is easy, but to maintain, you know, same thing for the woman. The husband, you know, his mood is not good. So it says that to get something is easy, to maintain it is difficult. Like nowadays in the corporate world, you know, people get these jobs. My nephew tried hard and got a beautiful job for this big company called McKinsey, which is one of the top consulting firms in the world. He was very happy. Ah, I got the best firm. Okay, very good. And you know how hard they make him work from 6 a.m. till midnight, 4 days a week. And he has to travel to different cities. And then on Friday, Monday to Thursday, he works. Friday, he's still busy because he has to submit a report. And on the weekend, he's planning for his Monday work. So 7 days a week, they are killing him. And the poor kid is under so much. And that's happening in the whole corporate world because what they're doing, they're laying off people. The cutbacks are so much. So the people who are left have to work twice as hard. So the job to get is a problem, but then to maintain it. So the Lord says that I take responsibility for what you do not possess, and I take responsibility for preserving it. How does the Lord do it? You know, if I work, I keep it. No, but we find there are so many examples. And you will also notice in your life that people who have worked hard for him, who have spent all their life, he had comes at unexpected times. You know, you hear stories about Narsimh Mehta and Tukaram and all these. There is a very beautiful incident from the life of Tapovan Maharaj, who was Swami Chinmayananda's guru. And he lived in the Himalayas. And he, of course, spent his whole life in meditation, studying, and he would teach students who would come to him. He didn't go anywhere. He said, you want to learn, you come to my humble hut, you sit here and I will teach you. But interestingly, he used to walk barefoot. He never put on shoes. And whether it was snow, heat, cold, he always walked barefoot, rocks, stones. And he always walked. He never took any means of transportation. And it so happened one day that he had to go from one village to another village in the Himalayas. And it was about a 10 or 12 miles. He said, oh, I'll be there in 3-4 hours. It's no problem. So he started walking, and it so happened that there was a big snowstorm, that a huge snowstorm, so much snow and the wind blowing that he couldn't see a thing. And he was in the middle of the Himalayas, lost in the mountains. He didn't know where is east, west, north, south. There were no road marks. Everything was, and there was not even a road. It was just a little path. Completely covered. He couldn't see anything. He couldn't go anywhere. And he said, oh my God, I'm lost. Now it's bitterly cold. And so what he says, I'm hungry and I'm lost. He says, let me see how the Lord will feed me today. He just said that. He said, let me see how the Lord will feed me. I haven't eaten anything. And it was already, he was wandering. Instead of reaching in 3 hours, it was already 5-6 in the evening. All day he was roaming around lost. He didn't know where the village was. He was going in wrong directions, you know. He said, let me see how the Lord feeds me today. So suddenly these two strong men show up and they are dressed like robbers, you know, criminals. And they come and catch him. They say, where are you going? He said, well, I want to go to that village. Do you have any money? He said, no, I'm a sannyasi. I don't even have shoes. What are you talking about money? So they roughly search his pockets. You don't have any money? He says, no, I don't have any money. They say, okay, are you hungry? So he says, yeah, I'm hungry. I left in 6 o'clock in the morning. It's now 5 o'clock. I haven't eaten anything. Okay. So from nowhere, they produce two boiling hot potatoes, boiling hot. In the middle of the Himalayas where there is snow falling, the potatoes are so hot that you can't even hold them in your hand. And they say, eat this. So he's, you know, where did these potatoes come from? So anyway, he starts eating. And then next thing he knows, he says, is that your village? He was magically transported. That's your village? He says, okay, go. And he walked and they disappeared. So who was that, you know, that came and gave him boiling hot potatoes and took him to where he had to go? He said it had to be the Lord himself, you know, but he chooses interesting forms. He comes as a robber, you know, he doesn't come as a, you know, like a Vishnu with his four arms or Shiva. No, he doesn't have to come as that. He can come as, or Jesus. No, he can come in any form. That's what they say. The Lord takes care of people who do his work. And he is constant. Actually, he is taking care of us constantly at all times. I'm talking because of him there. You are listening because of him. You're breathing. Your heart is beating. But when he says in the ninth chapter, he says, Name bhaktav pranashyati. When my devotee is in distress, he says, I come to take care of them and I make sure that they have whatever they want. You might say, oh, you know, it's okay. In lives of saints, we have heard of Jesus and Tukaram and, you know, Tapovan Maharaj. How about ordinary individuals?